Well, this summer, we spent the whole summer looking at letters to the church. We were in Revelation, and there are a series of seven letters there written to the church. And I said that we are the church. They're not specific buildings and places, even though there were those contexts. And so we looked at those letters as not only letters to ancient churches, but Jesus' letters to us. In one of those, the letter to Philadelphia, Jesus challenged those believers, among other things, to hold fast to his name. And we talked a little bit on that Sunday about what it meant to live in Jesus' name. And that prompted me, as I was thinking about this fall, to explore that in a little more depth. So this fall, over the next 8 weeks or so, we're going to look at life in Jesus' name, or life in the name of Jesus, and what that means. And to do that, we're going to look at some gospel stories about who Jesus was, what he did, what he taught, what he focused on. That's where we are today with this particular story. You may remember, and you heard this this morning, Jesus began his public ministry in the synagogue, reading from the scroll of Isaiah and announcing that the scripture you've heard today has been fulfilled in your hearing. And so he initiated that public ministry. And we're going to see a very direct application of the kind of healing he talked about that day when he meets this man with leprosy. But before we get to that, I want to tell you a little bit about my dog, Buddy. I did... I'm sorry. Yeah, you were waiting for me to say something else back there, weren't you? When Jesus read from that scroll in Isaiah and said he was here to heal and to set free, we see that echoed again a little bit later in the gospel. John the Baptist sent some of his disciples to Jesus to say, "Are you really the one? You've said that you are, but are you the one?" And Jesus responded by saying, "Just watch. See what you see and go report this back to John." And again, he listed out, "This is the arrival of the kingdom of God, and I am here to announce it." And so he, in Matthew's gospel, he said, "Go report. The blind are seeing, the lame are walking, lepers are cleansed," right? And went on to say these other things. Today we're going to look at a story of a leper being cleansed. So now, let me tell you about my dog, Buddy. Buddy, this is Buddy. It's a picture of Buddy. He is an American Eskimo dog, or sometimes called a Spitz. He is about the fluffiest dog. This is him kind of mid-fluff. In the deep of winter, he looks like a giant sheep. I mean, he's just enormous fur. And if we take him out to walk, kids are just drawn to him like a magnet because they just want to run their hands and their face through his fur. It's just like this giant fluffy pillow. So that's Buddy. And we have a fenced-in backyard. And so typically he'll let us know that he's ready to go out. And he'll go spend some time outside and then come back and scratch at the door and we'll let him back in. Well, there was this one day I was home alone with Buddy, no one else to call on for help. And Buddy had gone out when it was just cloudy and overcast, but had not come back in and it had started raining. And what I came to discover was that he not only was out in the rain, but he decided to roll a couple hundred times in the mud. And when he came back and scratched on the door and I opened the door, what I saw was my friend Muddy. Now, this is not an actual picture of my dog, but it's the same breed, and this is what he looked like. When it happened, my first thought was not, as he was standing in the den covered in mud, it wasn't, "Let me go get my camera and take a picture of this." You know, I ran for a towel and grabbed his collar, and we hightailed it to the hose and cleaned him off. Why do I share that story? I hope you'll see some connections as we go through the story today. But this was, normally Buddy is a very clean dog. As fluffy as he is, the oils in his fur, I mean, he's kind of like a cat. He licks himself and he stays very clean for a white fluffy dog. But this was beyond his means to address, right? I was not happy, but he is my dog and I am his person, and I was going to clean him up. I was going to do the thing he couldn't do. So we went outside and took care of that. And I thought of that story when I read about the man with leprosy that came to Jesus. So I want to tell you a little bit about leprosy. Clay alluded to it. It's actually a disease that's still around. When I was in high school and then in college, and then some as a youth pastor, I went on mission trips, and there's some countries where leprosy is still alive and well. And often the folks that are dealing with leprosy are sent to kind of infirmaries, places to live, and still separated from family and from friends. And it still can be a very scary and off-putting disease. And what it is, if you don't know, is that it affects the nerves, especially in your extremities, fingers and toes and nose and ears, and you can't feel a thing. And so what happens, I mean, that in itself isn't harmful, but what happens is a person will get cut and not realize it and not see it, and it will become infected and can lose fingers and toes and that sort of thing. Well, you can imagine back in Jesus' day, when we didn't know about Neosporin and checking yourself for cuts, it could just wreak havoc on someone. And it was very frightening to look at. And culturally, the thing to do was just to shun lepers. What if I could catch that? What if it could somehow affect me? It also happened to be part of the law of Moses addressing leprosy. And it was described as, and this is going to be the key thing for this morning, if a person had leprosy, they were to be treated as not clean or unclean. And they were to live apart from society. And if they ever did think that they might be well, they could come to a priest and be examined and be declared clean. Now you can imagine, and you may even think yourself, that's describing their physical condition. Because it looked like something was going on. Like maybe they didn't bathe themselves or take care of themselves well enough, and it was causing this manifestation in their body. And we do that sometimes with illness and disease, right? We have this emotional reaction to it. But God's law was not describing their physical dirtiness or cleanliness. It was describing really a spiritual state. And I say all that because as you kind of dial in on this story today with the man that came to Jesus, listen to what he asked Jesus. He came and beseeched him and fell on his knees before Jesus and said, "If you are willing, you can heal me." No, he said, "You can make me clean. You can make me clean." Maybe another way to translate or explain that to you is, you can make me right within the community again, or you can restore my connection with God and his community. And Jesus was moved with compassion. His heart went out to the man, and he indeed, doesn't say healed him, he said he indeed made him clean. And it says immediately the leprosy left him. Immediately he was healed, but it says immediately the leprosy left and he was clean. He was cleansed. I was trying to think about how to explain this, because even we think in terms of, well, the person's skin is looks sick. There must be something wrong with them, or there's some inherent quality about them that's not right. But what Jesus did to him was exactly what Jesus did. He restored rightness with God. So he healed him, made him clean, and sent him to the priest to be examined and declared clean. I was trying to think, what is that like? And it's like, it's not the same, but it's like this. When someone comes into the church and declares faith in Jesus, if it hasn't happened before, we will baptize them, right? We put the font out in the middle of the church and there's water in it. We did this with Kira not too long ago, baby Kira. And I put water on them. Are they dirty and am I washing the dirt off of them? No. Almost everyone bathes before they come to church to be baptized. It is a ritual cleansing. And it's a lot of stuff going on with baptism, but it is signifying, it's saying there is a disconnect between humanity and God, and because of Jesus, I pronounce you clean. So we use water to help us understand that image and that ritual. Very much in the same way, Jesus said to this man who he did heal physically, he said, go show yourself to the priest and make an offering so that you would be declared clean as a testimony to them, to the world, to those who might see you. It was a lot like baptism. It's a thing that people see and realize God's doing something here. There's a spiritual reality going on. Here's another example. Think about a wedding, right? What do you have to do legally to get married? You have to go to a courthouse. There's paperwork that's filled out. You pay a fee, and it's done. It can be as simple as that. If you meet the requirements and fill out the forms. When a couple comes to a church to get married, there's all sorts of stuff that they do. Those things don't marry them. Walking down the aisle, beautiful as it is, that doesn't make a person marry. When they exchange vows and exchange rings, that doesn't make a person married. If I take my ring off, I don't suddenly, oh, he's not married anymore. It's a symbol, right? It's a ritual that describes a reality. So Jesus declared to this man, you are not only healed, you are cleansed. Go do the things that publicly demonstrate that God has healed you, because it's going to be a testimony. I wear this ring, not because it magically makes me married, but because it demonstrates. It's a visible symbol that I am married. We baptize people as a visible symbol of something that's pretty invisible to see, God's grace at work in their life. So Jesus sends this man. Now, am I making all this? I mean, this is a lot to pull out of two or three verses. Is Robert just, you know, going deep in the Bible field? No. Here's why I say that. In the Hebrew scriptures, in the Old Testament, Isaiah very much used the same language. At the beginning of Isaiah, you have this scene that you may have heard of before, where Isaiah has a vision of being in the presence of God, and it's absolutely overwhelming to him. And it drives, I mean, picture the leper as I say this, it drives him to his knees, and he cries out to God in that vision, woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips. Right? Does he have a smudge of dirt on his face? No. He is declaring his spiritual status before the holiness of God, right? So the same Isaiah later writes this. Again, notice the language. Shall we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean. It's not talking about physical cleanliness, but a spiritual reality. All of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags, filthy garment. All of us wither like a leaf. Our iniquities, our sin, like the wind, take us away. Isaiah got it. This language that you read in Scripture of being clean or unclean is not describing our physical bodies. It's not really even describing our inherent goodness or badness. It's describing the holiness of God and what it is to be separated from God or with God. Why is Isaiah important? It's the same person with all this language that Jesus started out his ministry by reading from his writings. And Jesus is tapping into all that Isaiah taught and described that God was going to do one day. And Jesus says, I'm here to fulfill this. So I will set free the captives. I will give freedom to those who are oppressed. I will heal those who are sick, who are blind. I will cleanse the lepers. And Jesus did do those things literally, but he also came to make whole people and their God. And so all of that is flowing underneath and around every act and every word of Jesus. Now, I'm not today going to go down the trail. It's an important trail, but it's distracting this morning. Half of today's passage is probably what you focus on if you hear this story. Because we hear a man with leprosy came to Jesus. I don't know what leprosy is. Jesus healed him, because he does that a lot. Then he told him, don't tell anybody. And the man went and told a bunch of people. And so then Jesus had to hide out in the desert. We hear all that and think, well, I can't really relate to leprosy, but what in the world is going on with Jesus keeping himself a secret and telling this man not to tell anybody? We'll talk about that some other Sunday. Scholars call it the messianic secret. And in short, I think the idea is that Jesus, there was this expectation of who the Messiah was. The reality was a little different, and Jesus didn't want to too early get swept up in that movement. There were people that wanted to take him, put him up in front of themselves, raise an army, and start a revolution. And what Jesus came for was the kingdom of God. So he was thoughtful throughout his ministry about how he would describe himself, how much he would reveal himself until the end when he hung on the cross very publicly. We'll come back one day to the messianic secret, or if you're really dying to know, let me know and we'll have a great conversation about it. But what I want you to see today is this underwriting work of Jesus to cleanse humanity. So I've told a parable about my dog Buddy that I hope in some way illustrated both our inability to make ourselves, our status before God clean as much as we might try, and yet this yearning, if you could see my dog's face, you would get this yearning to be with God and be right with God, and the need for God to step in and take care of us who are his people and he who is our God. What do we do with all that? I want to ask a couple of questions. Instead of connecting all the dots and making application, I want to ask these questions and see where the Holy Spirit will lead you with this. The first question is, where are you unclean? Where do you experience perhaps most profoundly the disconnect between God's holiness and the mess that is all of our life? What's the pressure point for you? And what would it mean for you to acknowledge that? You don't have to acknowledge it to me this morning, but what would it take for you to name that to God and say, God, I am unclean. And this is what it looks like for me. Because remember the man with leprosy, most people in that day would if he approached them, they'd run away. They didn't want to be in close proximity. And he came and beseeched, he asked Jesus and acknowledged, I am unclean. And Jesus touched him. What does it mean? What would it mean for you to acknowledge your uncleanliness to God? And what does it mean that Jesus will and has pronounced you clean and whole before God? So lest you get lost in the discouragement of questions 1 and 2, don't miss number 3. Jesus has already done it. He has come to announce the kingdom and to announce, in me, in Christ, you are clean. Right? We may need to go acknowledge that publicly, go show ourselves and realize I am clean. But the reality has happened. What does it mean that Jesus will and has declared you are clean? And then there's a fourth question that I don't want to leave out that I think turns this a little bit more outward focused. And is, how does this reality that's how God has chosen to relate to humanity, right, by making us whole and clean, how does that affect your view of others? Perhaps the person sitting next to you, perhaps someone you think of that's not here, perhaps the stranger or the neighbor. Jesus talked a lot about all those things. Especially those who look like a mess. Right, and we physically say, not clean, a mess, get away. How does Jesus' approach to we who are unclean in every way, who touches us, who cleans us up, who declares us whole, how does that affect your view of other people around you? May God take his word and these questions and give us ears to hear. Let's pray.